Good morning, friends. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at the First United Methodist Church of Midland. Glad that you are here, whether you're in the sanctuary or the warmth of your homes, hopefully, glad that we could gather together in worship. As we step into our time together, I want to remind us that we do have a weekly email that goes out from the office, our weekly e-blast. Invite you, if you're not yet receiving those, to contact the church office. If you would like to receive those weekly emails, there you will find our Sunday bulletin and a weekly newsletter with all the information of what's taking place here at Midland First. But we'd like to highlight a few announcements for you this morning. And so we'll begin with Chuck Link, who serves as our church's treasurer. Chuck?
Good morning. As Jeremy said, I'm Chuck Link, and I'm the church treasurer. And I have to admit that I left my notes at home, so I'm going to ad-lib a little bit here. So if I get off topic, just steer me in the right direction here. Okay, the stewardship campaign for this year is almost over. We have received 144 estimates of giving cards for a total of $560,000. Thank you to everybody that has contributed to the goods of the church. If you are still interested and you've lost your card, or you just decided maybe I should do that, there are estimates of giving cards in the back of the church when you leave, and we would appreciate if you decided to contribute. Again, thank you for all that you're doing for the church. And I think that's done. So I didn't get off topic.
Thank you, Chuck, for that report. I want to assure you that I have my sermon notes for this morning, so hopefully we stay on track. Thank you, Chuck. I'm going to next hand things off to Pastor Bethany, who serves as our associate pastor, with an announcement reminding us of how we love to include our children in worship.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, we do love to include our children in worship. They are so important. I want to let you know that we will have sign-ups for bell ringing after the greeting time in worship going out in the e-blast. And so I invite you to be on the lookout and to sign up your child if they would like to ring the bell. We would love to have them do that. And so be on the lookout for that. Or you can always send me an email and let me know if you don't happen to sign them up. But either way, we would love to have them. Thank you, Pastor Jeremy.
Thank you. Thank you for that reminder of how we would like to include you in the leading of service. If you're young at heart, I invite you to reach out to Pastor Bethany as well, if you wish to ring the bell. Next, I'm going to reach out to Brad Barr, who serves as the leader of our New Way Forward Task Force, with an announcement regarding how we're trying to shape the church's culture. Brad?
Good morning. Thank you, Jeremy. The New Way Forward Task Force has been working with our ministry teams to develop our commitment to the cross. This is a formal statement that describes the culture that we're striving to create here at Midland First. If you've not had the opportunity yet to see and review our progress, please meet us in the chapel after worship on Sunday, February 1st. We will review our latest draft, invite you to listen to your feedback and answer any questions you may have. Our team plans to finalize this in early February and roll this out in March. So we hope to see you there. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you for extending that invitation on behalf of the task force. Finally, I want to bring to your attention that the church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The church's regular office hours, which are 9 to 3 Monday through Thursday, will resume the following day on Tuesday. Simply ask that you make note of this if you are planning to stop by the church this week. Those are all the announcements we'll highlight this morning. And so with this, I'm going to invite Aria to come forward, who will be serving as our bell ringer this morning. We're going to share in a brief time of greeting one another. Aria will call us back by ringing the bell and then ask that you remain standing for our call to worship. So I invite you to stand and to greet one another.
Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to remain standing as we sing our song, Give Thanks. This is a song to help us to remember to be grateful to God for everything that He has given us. You will find the words on the screen, or you will find the song with the melody line in your The Faith We Sing hymnal, which is the thin black one, number 2036. We're going to sing the chorus twice, and the verse twice, and then the chorus twice, and then the verse twice again.
Welcome everybody here this morning. We have our children come forward for our children's blessing. Ooh, glad to see you guys today. Hi, Alec. How's it going? I understand you have some special guests in the audience today, right? How was your trip? Good. Hi. How are you doing, Silas? All right. Today in Sunday school, we are going to... Last week we had an amazing time, right? What did we talk about last week? Anybody remember? It was a whole week ago, right? We were talking about God's, how He's amazing, weren't we? Today we are going to talk about something else. I wonder what it is. I have a little gift here. Ooh, anybody want to help me unwrap it? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Of course, everybody's going to help me. I wonder what's in it. Oh, I know. That's for me. I know. The tape is for me. It's for our crafts. Uh-oh. I think Nora has it. What is in there, Nora? Oh, it's a box. What's in the box?
The sheep. The baby sheep. A lamb.
A lamb. Ooh, so we are talking about something that has to do about a lamb today.
It's a baby.
Oh, it is. It is.
Can I hold it?
And about how somebody. You think so? We're going to talk about a lamb today. So, and it is going to be from John 1, 34 says, "And I myself have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." I wonder what a lamb has to do with the Son of God. We're going to discover that today. Let's pray. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we're here to learn about your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending Jesus for us. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love one another today and throughout this upcoming week, and help us to have an enjoyable break tomorrow from school. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's go to Sunday school.
Amen. Thank you, Joyful Bells. Our praise band this morning invited us to gather together thinking what we're thankful for, and your singing brought me into that moment during worship. And just want to note that I'm grateful for our kids in the congregation. It is great to have them be a part of our start to worship, the children's blessing. It's great to have their energy and their curiosity. If you're sitting in the back, I don't know if you get to hear them trail off to Sunday school, but it is a wonderful noise. And to have their presence even in worship with us, even the youngest among us, Lincoln and his curiosity with the handbells. Nathan, I think we might have a future bell ringer. down the road with his curiosity of all the wonderful sounds that you and the choir managed to make with these handbells. And so it's wonderful to have our children in worship, children in the church, their families. I am full of gratitude for them. And certainly another part of the church's life that we are grateful for as the pastoral staff and as the church's staff is those who serve in leadership among us, those who give leadership to the church and to the ministries. And so we take time this Sunday to commission our ministry leaders, those who are serving and giving hands and feet to the work of Jesus in our midst. And so at this time, as we take a time for commissioning our leaders, for praying for our leaders, I'm going to invite members of the Strategic Leadership Council to come forward that you might be recognized as those serving us among us as the SLC for the coming year. And as they make their way forward, I'm going to invite you to turn to your bulletin insert that lists all of our church's leadership. I invite you to join me here on the middle level. You will note that serving on the Strategic Leadership Council this year are Faith Fuentes, Pat Seaton, Ellen Talbot, Brad Barr, Dan Morgenstern, Jan Juergens, Jennifer Doyle, Julie Edwards, and Kayla Williams. The Strategic Leadership Council functions to collaboratively discern the church's vision with myself and to align our church's resources and ministries to that vision of the church. And so I introduce our Strategic Leadership Council to you this morning. Also, we have a number of administrative support committees and teams that directly support and contribute to the work of the Strategic Leadership Council. And so at this time, I'm going to introduce to you Denny Buckler, who serves as our accounting team leader. I invite you to stand, Denny, where you are in the congregation, and invite others who serve on the accounting team to please stand with Denny and to remain standing as we recognize the church's leaders. We also have an endowment committee, and that is led currently by Rob Morgenstern. So I invite you to stand, Rob. And to others who are serving on this committee, to join Rob in standing, other members of our endowment committee. Also, we have John Horton, who is already standing, who serves as our facilities team leader. Invite those who are serving on the facilities team to also please join those who are standing. Finally, we have our nominations committee that is chaired by myself. Invite those who serve on the nominations team to please stand. And so you might envision that these are the individuals and church members who are helping to provide administration to the church's life together. Finally, you'll note in our insert, we have other ministry teams that serve as the engine, the power of the church, moving us forward, being the hands of feet in Christ in our congregation, out in the community, and making sure that our reach is far beyond the church's walls in our community. So if you serve, whether as a team leader or as a team member, on any of these ministry teams, I invite you to please stand that we might recognize and pray for you today. And so hopefully you are catching a glimpse of what this church's leadership looks like, what is required to move this church forward, to allow its mission to be lived out in the church. If you aren't yet standing, we invite you to join any of the ministry teams. Know that all it takes is to contact a ministry team leader and express your interest, and we'd be happy to have you serve among us. But at this time, I invite us to pray for our leaders and for the church's ministry moving forward. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we take this time to recognize those who will be serving among us as leaders and as ministry members in the year ahead, we pray collectively for your blessing upon them. Lord, we believe that you are doing a good work, and a work that will only be fulfilled to its greatest degree if you are a part of it. And so, Lord, we lift one another up and ask that you would take all that we have to offer, our gifts, our time, our efforts, our discernment, and that you would weave it together to do a mighty work among us, to reveal yourself to us and to our community and to the world abroad, to bring your kingdom to be in a way that is not yet. Lord, I thank you for all who are serving. And indeed, O Lord, if others might want to serve among us, if you are calling others into ministry among us, I pray that you might use this moment to allow us to imagine what is possible and to invite others to serve among us. Lord, we offer you all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give a round of applause and gratitude for those who are serving among us?
And now we come to a time of offering. If you would, sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew and pass them down to the other end. We love to know who's here and we love to get to know our neighbors. And so if you don't know someone who's sitting in your pew, I invite you to take a look at the friendship pad as they come back towards you. And then as the ushers are coming forward, I invite you to think about how God has blessed you this week and where you've seen him in your life. If the ushers will please come forward.
You are the Word at the beginning, born with God the Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you are Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you
praise of your glory, for
God, we do give you thanks and praise for every good gift that you have given to us, because we know that all that we have to give is all that we have already been given by you. Lord, bless these gifts and use them to further your kingdom here on earth and to bless others throughout the world. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation today. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sosthenes. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts he's given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So in a macabre or twisted sort of way, within my immediate family growing up with an older brother and a younger sister, fairly early on, we entered into a running discussion as a family as to who would inherit what when the time came. I can remember such conversations as far back when I was in middle school. From your response, I imagine that my family was not the only one who did so. Have others, please give me assurance my family's not too far out of the lines. Okay, thank you. So we had those kind of conversations. And if I look back at those conversations, it sounds a little bit like the prodigal son, right, who is asking for his inheritance before his father has passed. So perhaps my siblings and I owe our parents an apology, but we had those sort of conversations. And I don't know whether or not the following has been formalized in a last will and testament. I really don't know. However, this is what was worked out back then. And perhaps by recording this, it could be entered into court later on. But anyways, that's not my purpose for sharing this morning. But it was worked out that my brother would inherit the family's grand piano. And I am very grateful for this, as that piano has some painful memories, having tried to learn to play the piano, but have failed. So the piano happily to my brother. My sister stands to inherit the handmade felt Christmas ornaments that my grandmother made while living with us for several years with my grandfather back when we were growing up. And I hope that my sister is up to some negotiating, as I sure would like to have a few of those hanging on my tree in the future. Finally, all those years ago, I negotiated with my siblings and with my parents that I would inherit my parents' letters. Their letters that they had written back and forth during their courtship. Some were written during a time when my father had moved here to the United States and my mom remained back home in the Philippines. Others were from when both of my parents were here in the States, but living apart and really planting the very beginnings of what would be our family today. Back then, mind you, when I was in middle school, we all joked about whether or not I would ever want to really read the contents of the letter. After all, what middle schooler wants to imagine their parents dating, right? At the same time, even as kids, especially now as adults, my siblings and I have an appreciation for the story contained within those letters. Because we recognize that in these letters, we'll not only rediscover our past as a family, but we'll also get a sense of who we are today, right? And where we might still go as a family in the future. And I share all that because very much in the same vein, that's what we have for us in the Apostle Paul's writings, in the Apostle Paul's letters to the early church. that are contained in our New Testament. They too hold a similar blessing for us as God's family. They too hold a similar blessing for us as the church, as those seeking to follow in the way of Christ. Like the church back then, we find in Paul's letter a sense of the past, the church's past. We find a glimpse of who we are today as the church, and we even catch a glimpse of where we might go in the future. All of this is a part of what Pastor Bethany read to us from the very beginning verses of 1 Corinthians. Like his other letters, as was customary for his day, Paul opens his letter to the church in Corinth, with words of greetings or salutation, if you will, and words of thanksgiving. Perhaps Paul begins in such a way because he recognizes that their way of living, their way of embodying all that God wants the church to be, is embedded in their understanding, their recognition of who they are. And so perhaps that's why Paul begins with words of greeting and words of thanksgiving. And so with these words, Paul shares his theology, his understanding of who they are, as the church, and how it is that God has saved them. Indeed, in Paul's words, they are those whom God had called to be his people, his holy people, and whom God had made holy through Jesus Christ, just as God had done for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mind you, in sharing these words of greeting and thanksgiving and encouraging the church to embrace all that they are, Paul is aware that he is writing to an imperfect church. The church hadn't gotten it all right. They haven't figured it all right out yet. He had received reports of immorality among them. He had heard from individuals of divisions within the church. Paul had also received a letter from them about the struggles they were encountering simply in doing life together. Perhaps that's a word of hope to our bishop, as he sometimes receives emails and letters about how we haven't yet found or discovered or perfected doing life together. This was happening in the early church. Even still, rhetorically and purposefully, Paul addresses the church as one. Not as a divided church, not as an imperfect church, but as one. As God's church, as God's people, as those who have been invited to be in partnership with one another. The fact of the matter is, one doesn't have to be a believer. One doesn't have to be part of the church to glean an important reminder or an important lesson from this writing, from Paul's letter, as his letter is yet another reminder of how we are better together. It's a simple, straightforward reminder. Just consider how customizable we're making life today, with the expectation that we can customize and curate not only our music playlists and our news feeds, but we can also customize our approach to work. One might choose to work virtually, might one choose to work in person, or perhaps in a hybrid setting. We can also customize our own track to well-being as to what constitutes well-being and how to get there. We also customize our own sense of being at times. With customization and individualization on the rise, we seem less inclined to do what Paul is writing about here, about doing life together, about being connected in some sense of community. Are you aware that we remain still in somewhat of a post-COVID or post-pandemic slump where it comes to volunteering? That while 75% of nonprofits report relying on volunteers, our latest census data reflects that we remain at lower levels of volunteerism coming out of the pandemic than prior. Perhaps pointing to a less connected world. And yet, both implicit and explicit in this letter from Paul is a reminder that life is better, that life is meant to be left, to be lived with a shared sense of togetherness. Yes, divisions, differences, imperfections, and all. Now, as the church, and as the followers of the way that Jesus taught, there's an even more powerful lesson in Paul's letter. And this is the lesson that we gain a deeper understanding of God, that we gain a deeper understanding of the church in ourselves, and we gain a deeper understanding of God's purpose in our lives when we commit ourselves to living as one. When we commit ourselves as those who have been called by God to be God's holy people, to be a people set apart, made holy along with all others through what Jesus has done for us. A commentator on this passage pointed out that Anglican Archbishop Desmond Tutu expressed the very spirit of this passage in his emphasis and use of the African concept of Ubuntu. Has anybody heard of that? The African concept of Ubuntu? A common interpretation of this concept is that a person is a person through other persons. A person is a person through other persons. Or as Archbishop Tutu described it in his book, No Future Without Forgiveness, my humanity is caught up, is inextricably bound up in yours. We belong in a bundle of life together. My being, who I am, what's possible, is bound up in you. In you. And you, it's found in this interconnected sense of life and being. I encountered this in a wonderful way in our church during one of our Sunday morning worship services. It was a service that we held together prior to engaging in a number of service projects together as a congregation and engaging in a number of service projects wherein we've invited friends and family and neighbors to share in, where we did a number of projects with our children in the Sunday school room along with the meal packing event down in our fellowship hall. And it was at the end of this service on that Sunday when, as a congregation, we gathered in a circle here in the sanctuary for our closing hymn to sing, Here I Am, Lord. And in one another's expressions as we sang and in the comments expressed to me immediately afterwards, it was clear that what made that moment so special is that we caught a glimpse of ourselves by looking across the circle and seeing someone else. Seeing not just our story individually, but our story as a community, as a congregation, as the people of God. And so, friends, who are we? Who are we? And how is God stirring among us? What is God doing here? In you and in your life, in this congregation together, through our congregation, out in the community, and further into the world. Friends, this is being revealed to us right here among us. It's in the letters preserved for us in God's Word, and it's who God is calling us to be. Not someday. Someday when we have this all figured out and perfected. Instead, this is who God is calling us to be today. And all the more equipping us to be as well. Amen? Amen. Indeed, as we go to prayer today, I invite us to be mindful of tomorrow's holiday, the Martin Luther King Day here. Invite us to be mindful of Reverend King's vision for our nation, that one day we will live in a nation where there will be not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. May that be our prayer as we join one another in prayer this day. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for the inheritance that we have received through the Holy Spirit, your promise of goodness, and of right standing and of saving grace through Jesus Christ. And indeed, the inheritance contained for us within your living word, within your scriptures, within your promises. We give you thanks for Paul's letter to the church so long ago, reminding them of who they are and all they are called to be. For it's in Paul's words and in their living that we are reminded of who we are today, of our foundation, and of our nature, and of our hope. Lord, as we remind one another in worship of all the various individuals and teams serving in ministry, of all the opportunities to engage in the life and the mission of the church together. Help us to dream of who we are and how you're stirring among us. Help us to dream of what is even yet possible. Lord, that might take place in familiar ways in the coming year. And indeed, we make room for how it might surprise us. We just pray for this work in our hearts and in our minds when we gather together or whenever we are thinking of the ministries or engaging in the ministries of the church. Lord, we pray that you might stir within us individually. You might waken us up to who we are and all that we can be in following you and how you work in our lives. And indeed, O Lord, we join our nation in remembering the life and the ministry and the vision of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We thank you for his dreams among us of being a nation, O Lord, that welcomes the other, that sees what is sacred in each and every one, wherein we look to the content of one's character and not assumptions we might make. Continue to draw us to that vision, O Lord, as a nation and as a world. God, we offer all of this today, being reminded that you have called us to be your holy people. And all of this we pray through Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, I invite us to stand and join one another for our closing hymn to be reminded yet again of God's great faithfulness. We sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You'll find this on page 140 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. I invite you to stand as you are able. we close our time in worship this morning, I just want to share a moment that I had in worship today as we gathered. And I'm sitting in the pulpit, and I'm looking at the congregation come in and those coming in on Main Street. And there's Alec, one of our younger members of the church, greeting people. If you came in on Main Street, you might have seen him. Alec was bundled up in his coat, ready to meet that wind coming in, ready to push that door open. He had to lean his whole self into that door to get it open, right? Some of you are nodding. You were greeted by Alec coming in. You know, I'm reminded that we should be so eager to greet one another and to greet guests, not just to worship, but into the life of the church, believing what is possible when we do life together. Indeed, weren't we all reminded of what's possible in the name of Jesus when Zoe sang today's anthem? May we open ourselves to God's power in us and through us. Yes, individually, but as the church. Amen? Amen. Amen.